ただいまからマクロスタイム午前1時をお知らせいたします。
Okay, well, welcome to the Macross Speaker Podcast. I am your host this time, Richard, a.k.a. Goobaba on the forums. And with me is...
Leonardo. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Kyle first.
I'll go first. Okay. Hi, this is Kyle, Falcon KPD on the Macross World Boards.
And Leonardo Flores. I think I'm Upland Mod. Or mod seniest on Macross World.
I think you're mod seniest.
Okay, mod seniest then. Also the staff. One of the staff modeler builders for CollectionDX.com.
Yes. And today, as the roving reporter for Macross Speaker Podcast, I have gathered these two here to talk a little bit about Macross model kits, which work. Leo, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of a big thing in the 80s.
Yes, I remember when we were at the Macross Con and somebody translated some Japanese things concerning some paperwork, and they said that they sold more kits, Macross kits, than they sold Gundam kits when Macross came out.
Yeah, how times have changed. Of course, these days, when you think about like robot kits, it's generally just Gundam. But I think back then it was kind of everything, and there were a wide variety of Macross kits available, as I'm sure we all know. Well, maybe Kyle doesn't.
Well, I've read the historical records.
Yes,
I have an idea.
Kyle's the young in here. He's the Kohai. Yes. So
I'm here to learn.
Yeah. So there were two companies making the Macross kits at that time. There was Imai and there was Ari.
And there's also Nichimo.
Nichimo, right. Yeah, making the really small ones.
Yeah.
And I think we can agree that the Imai ones were much better quality than the Ari.
Yes. It's a night and day with construction and how they were engineered and just the overall look of them. Generally, the Imai kits really stand out today. You can still build them as modern kits, whereas the Airy ones still need a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the Imai ones ended up getting reissued by Bandai.
Yes.
I don't think any of the Airy ones did
no,
they?
No. What I'm assuming, I think somewhere in the late 80s or the early 90s, somehow Imai went out of business, or they started selling their molds to Bandai, because already by the early 90s those kits started being released as by Bandai, the Imai kits, whereas Airy, they still own their molds and they still make terrible toys with them, and every 5 years they'll reissue them, and you know, there's, you know, some of their current reissued ones had the little rubber figures, which are actually kind of cool, but generally they keep reissuing them every 5 years.
Yeah, and that's right, because the superposables, the Robotech ones that came out, those were Ari kits that were just put together and painted, right?
Yes. Those, and they're just as bad as the models. So, they had a dual release, which is, I didn't get this until I was older when I got back into anime modeling, but, you know, I think the first kit was the VF1J by Airy, and then the second kit was, is a Mai kit, and they would do alternate. So all the odd numbers were all, Airy, and all the even numbers were all Imai. And I think they released roughly about 120 kits. The numbering system kind of goes towards the end, it kind of dissipates, but definitely over 100 kits were made between the two companies, not counting Nichimo, which is around 55 kits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seemed like mostly the Imai ones were 1/72nd scale and the Ari ones were 1/100. But it wasn't always like that.
I think the bulk of the of the kits were 1/100 scale, and you did get some 1/72 scale kits, but the bulk of it was 1/100 scale. It seems like all the exterior vehicles and, you know, the playset, or not this playset, but the Macross hangar was 1/100. Yeah, the factory was 1/100. They also did one, excluding the ships. I mean, they did the 1/60 scale, which were the smaller ones that that Revell put together in one kit. And then, so that's... They had
you mean
kits.
The 1/144th scale?
No, 1/160 scale. They were they were the real chubby
really
ones.
Tiny.
Yeah, they're the real chubby figures, and they're 200 yen kits, so I'm sure they sold a lot of them, where it seems like all the other kits were roughly in the 500, 600 yen range, and then you had the larger ones that were like, you know, 1,000 yen, so...
So, Leo, what was the first one that you ever got?
You know, you asked me that, and I've been trying to think about what was the first one that I did. It's a toss-up between two. I think the first one I built was one of those dual Revell kits that were the 1/160. It usually came with, like, a Batloid and, like, another one in, like, Guardian mode or Gerwalk mode using Revell terms, you know. And those were, you can get those at, you know, KB Toy and Hobby for like, you know, $2 or something. So my dad used to buy them for me all the time. And then the Nichimo kits were released at the same time. This is kind of pre-Robotech as well. This was before Robotech came on. Nichimo released testers released the Nichimo kits as robot with R.O.V.O.T.
One of those acronyms that means nothing.
And I got it on a hanger at, like, you know, a supermarket, you know, back in probably like 84 or something. And I still have it. I still have like two or three of them from with those robot packaging on it. And so it's a toss up between you, because I remember my friend bought the changer. Let me back it up a little bit. Revell released these kits, I think, in coordination with a company called CEGAI. I don't know the background of that company, but they were released and they called it Robotech, and that was the name that Harmony Gold ended up using, and actually ended up buying that trademark name from Revell to use, you know. But originally, right, if you watch original Robotech, the trademark name was owned by Revell. So the kits that Revell released before Robotech came on the air were the Dugrim kits, some of the Robotech kits. I think those were the only two. Oh yeah, Orgus, the Orgus kit.
Yeah, so. It was Dugrim, it was Macross, it was Orgus. So I kind of wondered back then, like wouldn't it have been funny if the Robotech TV show had been Macross, Orgus, and Dugrim?
That would have been awesome.
I'm sure if they'd really done it strictly,
I'm sure it still could. But anyway,
because I mean, the Mospita kits went into GoBots.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have a good eye, you can spot that stuff when you're a kid. So I just want to explain for some people that, you know, when these kits came over by Revell, they were split up in two sections. They had the Changers and they had the Defenders. The Defenders usually tended to be the Durogrim kits, and the Changers were the Valkyries and Orgus. So you had those two models. And so I remember my friend getting the VF1S, and it had a different name. I think it was Vexar.
Yes.
Vexar. And
the VF1D was Orbot, and I can't remember what the Milia VF1J was. They gave them all different paint jobs too.
Yeah, Orgus was Orbot.
Yeah.
No, it was just random. Okay. Probably just so they can trademark the name, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember my friend buying the VF1S, and like, so I remember I never built it, but he built it first. And interesting is that the box had a mistake, is where to whoever put them together, and it's a mistake that all modelers do. If you ever built this model kit, you'll make that mistake, was where you'll put the vents on backwards, where they should be facing forward, and the person who built the model kit had them facing backwards. So when the kids,
on the box kit, it's or on the box, it's wrong.
the kids are all building it like the box cover, and then they realize when they're done that the legs are backwards. So it's they switched the parts backwards. So like, we all made that mistake because we followed the artwork.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So it was frightening. It was sad. It was a sad time. So. But.
Well, yeah, because they all had different paint jobs than the actual ones. So I remember getting those later and trying to, like, getting the VF1D and trying to make it look like the one from the show and having a really tough time because the Revell model had this camo scheme and the decals were all put in completely different places, and trying to figure out how to get it right was tough.
And it was hard because, you know, the animation changes when you watch Macross or Robotech. You know, one scene it's this, the next scene it's that. And then and then as a kid not knowing any better, you look at a Kameko Robotech comic and their colors were all different. So you're painting, you're like, your kid looks nothing like how, what, you know, visually what's supposed to look like, you know.
Right.
So, but my first kits were the small ones, I remember. And I did build the Ichimo ones. And I eventually got a Vexar and stuff, and, you know, and Revell also released the 1/100 Airy kits that transformed as well. They released those later on. But so I remember building the VF1D of one of those.
I never saw that.
Kind of covered. Yeah, they're kind of hard to find, but they did exist. I'd have the instructions for it still. But that kind of covers, like, you know, Robotech in the era of how Macross model kits were marketed in the United States.
Yeah, because I got one of those small sets also first, and I think it was an armored Valkyrie and a Gurwok.
Yeah, yeah. They had names for them, like this was like the Rescue Squad, or they had
right,
like,
yeah. Know,
but you can get them at, like, KB or something for, like, you know, $2 or something. For a kid, that's just awesome, you know?
Okay, so, the first one I got was one of those little Revell kits. It was an armored Valkyrie and a Gurwok. But then I remember, and I think I got a few, like, Robotech Defenders and everything, but then I remember going into Toy Store in the really crappy Pasadena mall. There was Carl's Toys, and they had, like, somehow they just got all of these cheap kits from Japan, and they were selling them for like $2.50 each.
Wow.
And one of them was the 1/72nd scale Gurwok.
Oh, okay.
So I got that, and that was my first Japanese Macross kit, and that was really, that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's my experiences, and this is kind of how I got into getting more into hardcore, learning about Japanese toys and everything was, okay, so it was 1985, 84. There's a comic book shop locally that was in Pomona, which is a couple of cities over. And since I was in the comic books, and for whatever reason, I found out that there was, you know, toys there and stuff. So I went over there, and the first time I went there was on a Sunday, and of course they're closed. So I'm looking through the window, and I see all these Japanese toys, like, on the wall, and the records, the vinyl, and the EPs, and
wow.
It was like, and I almost died because it was like the first time, but they were closed. So the name of the business was called Funny Business, and it was in Pomona, and so
I think they used to put ads in, like, Animag and things like that.
Yeah, I would assume that they did, because technically, at least in my area, and besides Pony Toy, which when we'll get to Pony Toy, they were the first ones to that I ever saw where I can buy the original Japanese model kits. So I go there the next week, and a nice guy, I still know him, Joey, his name is Joey, and invites me into his little store. It's like really small, and he, like, gives me a tour of the store and stuff, and, you know, I look up in the back of my mind, I can still see, like, the toys, the Mai kits, the Defender, and I can see, you know, many of the Do You Remember Love stuff was already kind of out, and he had it. And so, I ended up buying, like, model kits there. And, you know, I remember, I think one of the first ones I bought was probably the VF1A Strike or Super from Do You Remember Love? And it had, like, an extra part to make the eye extend out. And, of course, my kit, when I got home, that little eye was missing. So I was never able to do it. But I still have the box top for it. And it was the 1/100 scale. And it was the modified of the Ari kits. And it came with a super pack.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, Macross 84 on it. And so that was my first introduction to actually buying original Japanese model kits was in the original boxes was from him. So
that one was also my first Do You Remember Love kit. And actually it was the first time I ever learned about Do You Remember Love at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Because it was, you know, I went in and saw that, and I'm like, whoa, it looks like the Skull VF1S, but it's a 1A, and it's got red on it, and it's Hikaru? It's like, what is this?
Yeah, well, see, this is, well, here's the best part of the story is where it kind of, the next step is that, you know, Robotech's on the air, I'm looking for these kits, I'm buying it, and he says, well, every Saturday, we show Japanimation or animation in the back. That was the word back then. And you just bring a can of food for the bring a can of food for the local food bank, and we'll be watching. You know, we watch all different cartoons. And so the next weekend was going to be Do You Remember Love?
Wow.
So I, you know, the next week I come. He says he's explaining to my dad. Yeah, there's a little shower scene. It only takes a second, but you know, it's good. You know, and my dad was very open. My dad took me to go see American Pop. And, like, you know, the Ralph Bakshi movies. And so, like, my dad was very forward-thinking when it came to animation. And that's why, like, my taste in animations were was high when I was younger. So the next week I go back and I see Do You Remember Love? And it just blew me away. And I didn't realize this until recently, maybe a couple of years ago, was that the fact that I saw Do You Remember Love pretty much the year it came out. It might have been a little bit later when – in terms of the actual release date, but within that year I had saw Do You Remember Love, and that just opened my mind to like what animation could do, what Macross can do, you know, and just buying all those model kits that were related to that movie, and of course the regular series Super Dimension Fortress Macross. So
yeah it bugged me with the movie models because they didn't really make any 1/72nd scale.
Well, that's
for them.
Yeah, well, I think that's the funniest issue is that they never made a 72nd scale Valkyrie fighter with no just a straight fighter. And I didn't really realize that until I started doing my Hasegawa kits for Collection DX that it's like, you know, I always like to compare. I always like to build like this is what how that was in the 80s and the 90s and here's what the modern was is. So I got the new Hasegawa kits. I said, well, I'm going to build a 72nd scale Valkyrie fighter. And then I looked and I realized, wait a second, there never was a 72nd scale Valkyrie fighter.
Yeah, they made a Super Valkyrie.
They made the Super the band which Bandai reissued. And
Was just the Gerwalk, really.
It came with the parts to do the Gerwalk. So you could do it as the fighter or the Gerwalk. So it was a cool little dual kit, and it came with the three heads. Came with the VF1A, S, and J head, and special markings for the boosters that weren't in the series. Which I always thought it was really cool. I thought that was a nice addition when they would do stuff like that, you know.
Which they also did with the armored Valkyrie kits with the little kind of nose art, but for the legs.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they had one like that was like Minmay with a dragon, and they had another one with a girl in a bikini, and it said next objective on it.
Yeah, they had I've built all four 1/100 scale Destroids for Collection DX. I did it a couple of years ago, and you know, my rank from best to worst was the top one was the Missile Phalanx was number one. Number two was the Excalibur, both of my kits, of course. The third one was the Spartan.
Tomahawk.
What did I say, Excalibur?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I said that. that's so on me. The third one was the Spartan, and then the last one, which is the worst one, was the Defender. Yeah. But it was interesting. For the fact that the Amai kits didn't come with any kind of nose art or leg art, quote unquote nose art. But the Airy ones did come with nose art. And I thought that was kind of cool. That was one thing that I said, this is the only cool thing about these two kits is that it comes with like nose art and the Amai ones didn't. I ended up finding some decals to give it some nose art for the Amai ones, but you know, so I always thought that was kind of cool that they did that, but they did make a decal sheet that had all that artwork that was in the Macross modeler book.
Huh.
And okay. I've seen it before. I don't know if it has the Macross name on it, but it has a lot of that artwork. Somebody brought it to MacrossCon. I forgot his name, but he did bring one, and I've been looking for years for one, but I have yet to find one. But so, you know, I think it was in conjunction with that magazine or the book, the Macross modeler book, the first one that came out. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had the 1/72nd scale Destroid Defender,
yeah.
Which was Imai,
yeah.
And that was a really good kit.
Yes.
I like that one a lot.
I just started building those. There's three of them. They never did the missile phalanx. They only
right.
they only did Imai did the Spartan, and they did the
Tomahawk.
And then was it the Tomahawk?
Yeah.
They did the Spartan. No, they did the they didn't do the missile phalanx.
Right.
The Tomahawk was
so
done.
They did the Defender, the Spartan, and the Tomahawk.
The Tomahawk was done by Airy, and it's actually it's a really hard kit to find because it's weird because their 1/100 kits are really bad, but mm-hmm. their 72nd scale and their large Destroid is that they're actually really cool kits.
Okay.
It's the Tomahawk's kind of aged a little bit, but they did make it, and I do have it, and I will build it, but it's just a matter of like I'm building the other one right now, the Defender. I'm building the Defender right now, so but I'm gonna eventually get to it, so but
they also had a whole range of stuff for the Zentradi, which is kind of unusual now. I think you don't see a whole lot of bad guy stuff out there, but
it's pretty cool stuff. I really like that they did a lot of the Zentradi stuff.
I never built any of them.
Well
I had the Kel'Kali, the Bug Eye Recon,
yeah,
one, which was such an odd thing for them to do because it was only in like one or two episodes.
Yeah. And it's an odd scale. It's in a scale that doesn't fit any other scales in the whole series,
right?
525 or something real obnoxious.
Right. Yeah.
but it's kind of cool they did, and I call it the adversaries series that I'm gonna review all three of them, but is that they did the 1/144 scale of the Miria's battle armor,
yeah.
And they did the male battle armor, and then they did the
that's right, I had both of those,
yeah,
too.
And they also did the four you know, you buy the kit, it Imai did it, and you get the fighter, the Gerwok, the fighter with just the legs down and not the back folded, the Gerwok, mm-hmm. and then you get a Batloid in it, and they did you know, like the S, the J, and another one. I built those as a kid, but they're all in scale, so I always thought that was kind of cool that they did a 1/144 scale, that all three of those were in scale, from the male,
right.
the female, and the Macross. That I thought that was really cool. Then they have the ship scales, and again, those are kind of the Zentradis kind of have their own scale for their ships, and then they have the Macross, of course.
Yeah.
Imai did one, Airy, of course. The Airy one is the storm construction mode, and it's
they did the larger storm construction
yeah.
mode, and Imai did the smaller one, but the smaller one's actually a better kit,
yes.
because the elbows bend.
Yeah. Yeah, the Imai, the Airy one, the larger scale one, is it's a dog of a kit. I built it as
it's lame.
Yeah, Revel, it's just so out of scale. You see the you know the Frontheus and the Daedalus from the Imai cruiser mode, and you compare it in the same scale with the Airy kit, and it's just like night and day. You know, it's like
yeah.
it's so beautifully the Imai one is so beautifully crafted, and I would love to build another one, and then you get to the Airy kit, and it's just a toy, basically, you know. But
yeah.
but it's, you know,
the and the those kits were never reissued.
No, the smaller one of the Storm Construction by Imai mm-hmm. was reissued. You can get it.
Oh, really?
You can get it in chrome, and you can get it as a regular kit. And I have the chrome one, which I plan to build for Collection DX. But but yeah, the other three have never been reissued. That's the only one that's been reissued of the SDF3 kits. Yeah,
yeah,
SDF1.
Right.
We know what the SDF3
Boy, you're,
was.
You're really falling into bad habits.
Well, they did make an SDF3 kit. And
yes, they did.
Yes. Right. Retie ship.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have that one. I had Commagen's
okay.
ship, which was kind of cool because the front end could detach.
Oh, really?
From it.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I only have one of them, and I plan to get them, of course, but I also like how they came out with a little SDF-1 in scale. I thought that was the cool. Yeah. I think that's the coolest aspect of them, you know. So
yeah, definitely.
The one I have is Britai's ship, and the sculpt knot isn't that great. It's kind of it doesn't have that like long elegance to it. It's kind of like this big thing. It's not really well sculpted, but the other ones of what I've seen look really good.
Yeah. The Commagen one was fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, what can you do with a Zentradi ship? They're just big and lumpy, and that's it. There was one that apparently they were going to come out with and never did, which makes no sense at all, but they were going to come out with a Zentradi missile.
Oh yeah, you know, I was going to ask you that about the flyer. I mean, what did you think of those flyers when you saw them?
Yeah, well, I wanted to get everything. But it was a problem because I think because I got that Gerwalk first, I was kind of settled on 1/72nd scale.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so was looking around for stuff. I kind of assumed that you could get everything in 1/72nd scale, and you couldn't.
Yeah.
So there was a whole bunch of stuff I was looking for. I wanted like a super Batroid, and there was no 1/72nd scale for that. I mean, not even one of the transformable ones. Mm-hmm. The only ones that had the super armor were the 1/100.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was kind of frustrating then, but there were, you know, you'd get these flyers that had all these pictures of stuff on it and looking through it and trying to figure out, okay, what is available and what isn't.
Yeah.
It was really a mystery at times.
Yeah, the other thing was I like how it had the matched paints. I thought that was like the mm-hmm. coolest thing, you know. It's like, ooh, these paints, you know. And it's like,
yeah,
I wish I was alive. I mean, I wish I was in Japan in the 80s, because like it would have been cool to walk into the store and see these Gunzi paints all matched
right
to that stuff. And then there was two flyers actually, and then the other flyer, but one had kits on one side, and the flip side it was like the modeling magazines and mm-hmm. The ones that you can get from them, and from Amai or Ari, they had these Macross modeling. I always thought that was kind of cool, but again, you never saw this stuff. You know, I didn't see this stuff until maybe, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, 7 years is when I started seeing all this stuff, when I started going to Macross Con, you know. When
right, people had... yeah. Years later, I kind of ended up, because I would see those paints and kind of was interested in them too, mm-hmm. And then much, much later, when I made Evangelion kits, they did the same thing for Eva.
Yeah.
And so I managed to get the official paints.
Yeah, I did that with the Votoms for a British dog, because those colors are so weird. When I was in Japan, they had it there. Mm. I barely had enough paint to paint it, but I'm so glad it was already matched. I didn't have to mix those.
Right.
Those, was it cream, Neapolitan paint, ice cream colors for the British dog. So, but, you know, it's funny because I built most all the kits. I don't, you know, in general, one way or another, not like mm-hmm. variations, but I never built the 1/72nd Batroid kit. I never built that one. And I want to build it for a lot of reasons, you know, compare and contrast with the Hasegawa kit. But
right.
That was one, when I was a kid,
better.
I just never found it. I thought maybe we could talk about some of the more rare kits that, like, some of the ones that I don't remember seeing at all, even know about until I got older, was the Macross Island. Ataru. Atari Island. Yeah.
Ataria.
So, and that was magical. Like, some guy, it was a Macross Con the first year I went in 2008, and there was a guy selling model kits. He's all, yeah, and I picked up the Macross Island. I was thinking, Ari and Amai did these little diorama kits where it came with like a base and a Batloid or a Destroid.
One of my friends had one of those, and that was he made it. Well, actually, he didn't care about the robot at all. He just wanted the diorama.
Yeah.
But he gave me the box and the instruction manual after he was done, and I cut them up and like cut out the pictures and like pasted them on my school notebooks and things.
So I thought he was talking about those smaller 1/100 kits. He says, no, there was a Macross Island model kit. And sure enough, like, I had a sleuth for it, but I eventually found it. And man, that's one kit I still want. And as collectible model kits go, like for original, for releases, like collecting original Macross model kits isn't really that expensive. You can get a lot of the kits are available for like nothing. I mean, you can find them.
And a lot of them, but like the Bandai reissues, if you're going for that,
yeah.
You walk into almost any store in like any Yodobashi camera in Tokyo, and they'll have them.
They'll have them, and they're like 300, 500 yen still. But the Macross Island is actually really a real collectible. I mean, it is a very, very hard find kit to find, and it's one of those things that when the time comes, I don't mind dropping the money for it, because considering if I collect it, who's that? Who makes the Japanese, the Macross toys again?
Takotoku.
Yeah. The Takotoku toys, you know, those are expensive. I mean, one of those could be the price, and there's like 20 of them, you know, for $300-$400. But for the model kits wise, that's really the only rare collectible. I mean, all the other ones you can get with probably under $100 at the most, but most of them will be under $50. And a bulk of them would be under $20, you know. And the other one was, you know, that we saw it as a kid was the Robotech factory, or the factory. And I never saw it here in the United States. I never saw even the Revell one. I've seen some online still. To this day, I've never seen an official one in person. But, you know, it was an amazing kit as a kid. You look over it. And,
they reissued that in Japan for the 30th anniversary. So I was seeing those everywhere. Yeah. Anytime we would go to a Macross event, you walk into the gift shop and boom, there's like a ton of those. But they were like $70, $80.
Yeah, I really lucked out. I got mine on Yahoo Auctions for like $23 or something.
Nice.
I scored it. I was patient, but I found one for really cheap. But it was heaven. I mean, I can't wait to build it. I just don't have the room right now to build it. But, you know, as a kid, that was really the only way. If you didn't wasn't like me going to Japanese shops, you can get like the Tomahawk and an armored Batroid in 1/100 scale. So it's like that was it. But it's a beautiful kit. I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, all the vehicles and the little figures, and you know, you know, I was, especially the Mai kits, I think a lot of these kits like aged very well, you know. You know, yes, you definitely need the Hasegawa. You need the wave kits, but a lot of them are still fun to build, and that's why I like building them for Collection DX, is because they're cheap, you know, and you need a little skill. That's how I built models, so it's not difficult for me. It is difficult for other model builders to build these old style kits. It's like kind of building a ship in a bottle. You just kind of have to know how to do it, but they're all very buildable, you know.
I've never had any trouble finding any of the old ones, although I haven't built any in a long time.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic, I guess. I was trying to build one. This was probably like 1999 or 2000. Uh-huh. I think I was trying my first Hasegawa, or maybe my second Hasegawa, and the first one didn't end up terribly well. And so I started looking online to try to find tips for what to do with it and how to make it work and, like, how to put the landing gear up. And it led me to Macross World, which is how I joined there. And at that point, William Chang was doing his build-ups.
Yeah.
And for those who don't go to Macross World, and he's not on much anymore, but William Chang was just an amazing modeler. And actually, I think he works at a Hollywood effects studio.
Oh, okay.
Building little models. I know he worked on like the spaceship for the remake or prequel or whatever to The Thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he's worked on actual, like, building miniatures and things for actual movies. And he just did the most incredible Macross models that you've ever seen. And I found those pictures so intimidating that It took me years before I could actually, like, pick one of the models up and try to tackle it again.
Well, funny, and I'll never forget that, because I, you know, you had posted, I'm going to be working on this Hasegawa model kit, and I said, this kit is going to kick your ass, because it is the most difficult model kit I have ever built. Because when you build a model, you know, especially that old style type model kits, so you have to build it in a, you know, you have a certain way of building each step to know when to paint, when to glue this, when to glue that. And then when I got that kit, it was like, I had no idea. I thought I was able just going to be able to just throw it together and that's that, you know, hey, here's my Valkyrie. But man, that was a nightmare. And I've built four since, but wow. You know, they're not, I'm getting better at them. I mean, it's good. I can flow through it better, but it's still a pain to build.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, but back to the Ari and Imai.
Yeah.
So that Imai transforming 172nd one that got used for the Robotech changers.
Yeah.
Best transforming Valkyrie? I mean, model kit?
It's still a fun one. It's somewhat of a parts farmer, but it is fun. It is, you know, in the days of, it is interesting that was the most, probably one of the most complex model kits of its time, but
yeah.
It actually flies through pretty easy these days now. And what I was amazed about them is that, you know, you open up this kit and it comes with metal parts and rubber wheels and like,
right.
And that was wow. It's like, you know, for a kid that built airplanes and monogram B-17s, and which are amazing kits, to see metal parts and rubber wheels, that was a real fascinating part of building those kits, you know. And they're a little chunky, you know, but I like building
them.
They
look pretty good in all three modes.
Yeah,
though.
I think across the board they look pretty good. I agree.
Yeah. And then. Yeah, so they did all of those, and then later, of course, in the 90s, I mean, we got them all reissued, or a lot of them reissued.
Yeah.
And then we got things like the Macross 2 kit and the Macross 7 kits.
Yes.
But...
well, I mean, those are real separate issues with those, and we should take one each one. With the Macross 2 one, I never saw it as a kid. I didn't see it until I got older, like in person. I knew it existed, but
okay.
I never built it. But you know, I work on it off and on, and in my heart, I want to just build the fighter with no armor on it, with, as I say, none of that junk on it. I just want to. I want to build the basic fighter with the wings that open up, and you know, I that's what I want to build. And then you get all, you know, all this junk for the armor and this and that. And it's, there's more to the junk than is to the actual fighter. And
right.
and I know they built, you know, they have a resin kit you can buy to make it so you can build the regular one, which I would rather do. But
I think Adrian has that.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm hoping that he can sell it to me one day, because I really want to build that fighter version.
Adrian parting with a Macross 2 thing, I don't think that's going to happen.
So, but you know, building it now, I just it's a lot of the details are really soft on it. You know, you got all that junk, and it's just. You know, I guess the best thing is probably that poster that comes with it of, you know, that thing it's beautiful. I mean, for an instruction sheet, I wonder how many moms saw that and say, no, you're not. Gonna be. And then they take it away and then you have no instructions to build the kit.
Right.
But it's that, you know, so what's your take on that kit?
I never built it because I was never into Macross 2.
Oh, boy. Well, there's two things. One, Richard will no longer be appearing on the Macross Speaker podcast. And two, Leonardo, that junk is known as a sap. Thank you very much.
I've seen it around.
Yeah.
But again, the thing is, for me, I think even when I would have gone for it, I saw it and I was like, it's 1/100 scale. I want 172nd.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there is no 172nd.
Yeah.
And there will probably never be a plastic injection.
Yeah.
1/72nd scale Valkyrie 2.
It would be awesome if, you know, Hasegawa would do something like that. I mean, or it never will, but man, that would, no. I would love to build that. And
everyone kept wanting, well, everyone in the American fandom kept wanting Yamato to make it, and then now Arcadia to make it. It's not going to happen.
I think the big transition that we're kind of going into is the fact that Bandai is pretty much taken over Macross model kits by this time, by the early 90s.
Yeah.
During the original era, the only thing Bandai really did was they did the Gashapon, which were actually Eerie releases, and that's a whole weird story I've been trying to decipher. But originally, Eerie did these SD figures, like in 1984-83. Because a lot of the stuff predates Do You Remember Love. But by 1995 comes out, they stopped. What I assume is they stopped making those toys, and somehow Bandai got those molds and released them in the Gashapon capsules, which is how I built them. And then they built the Robo-Chan Man, which was the Valkyrie. The SD Valkyrie, where you bend up the legs and he has a pullback engine on it. So Robo-Chan Man was like a series of SD figures from like Super Sentai and Fist of No Star, and there's quite a few of them out there, but you know, one of them was a Macross one, and it was firmly a Do You Remember Love release, you know, because it has the red skulls on it and everything, and you know, it's really cool. I built it as a kid. I love to build another one. I still have my original one, but I like to buy a new one. And then the third kind of thing that Bandai did at that time was the Armored Lady model kits,
right? Which, I had that one,
and you know, was it, you know, it's a very that could be its own podcast, just those three model kits. But it was basically, it was these teenage, you know, they were model kits. They were made with the hard plastic. It wasn't injection molded. It was more of a hard plastic that it.
And her arm kept falling off.
Yeah, I forgot the name. The name slips my mind. But you know, they did the Loom model kits and the Lupin Tsuba to Tsubiovia, or I can't remember.
The only ones I saw for those were, I mean, there were was the Valkyrie Lady.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was the Gundam Mark II and the Zeta Gundam.
And the Zeta Gundam, yeah. But it was made with that hard plastic. It was very, in many ways, it was kind of a forward thinking kit. I mean, we see kits like this every day. Like from every anime, there's always like an armored with a girl and stuff. But for a major company to release something like that from another property was kind of very ahead of its time. I mean,
yeah,
and you know, I built all three of them as a kid, or not the Zeta. I didn't get the Zeta, but I did build the other two, and those were just so cool. I mean, I have another one I'm gonna build hopefully one day, and it's a fantastic kit. But as you can see, like at least at this time, Bandai really wasn't the main mover and shaker for model kits. They were kind of doing like these kind of outside the box kind of stuff, the Armored Ladies, the Gashapon, and you know, and the SD, you know. But you know, at least when we get into the 90s with Macross 2 and too much to this day, Bandai slowly takes over the, you know, of producing Macross kits away from Imai and Eri. And anybody else, or Nichimo, who else was making Nichimo, the forgotten company. But yeah, so you know, so by the time you get into 1990s, you get into this, and so really the first full blown model kits that Bandai makes for Macross are the Macross 7 model kits. And let me tell you the story of where I am with that at that time when I was I remember going to the Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, in like the year that Macross 7 came out, which was it 94?
Yeah.
So going to Macross San Diego Comic-Con, I go there I graduated high school a couple years earlier, and I go up to, had already seen Macross 2 and not wasn't really too impressed with it, you know, and see Macross 7 and saw the model kit of the Basara Fire Valkyrie. And I remember looking at it, having it in my hands and looking at it, says, and thinking to myself, do I have to like this because it's Macross?
Right.
You know, and I put it back. And I never you know, again, in modern sense, as I have since watched Macross 7, I think it's brilliant. I don't like the VF-19 too much, but I do like the Fire Valkyrie. But for what Bandai did was that they released the two of them transformable. The Emerald, was it Emerald Force?
Right.
And
yeah.
The Fire Valkyrie. And then they released the four kits, the 1/144 scale. So what's your thoughts?
Which were dual kits where you had a fighter and a Batroid.
Yeah. So what do you think of those kits?
I actually, in like 94 or 95, I bought all of them. The only one I attempted to build was the Fire Valkyrie, but I was trying, and this is the first and really only time I had ever tried to modify.
Yeah.
One of the kits, I tried to turn it into the YF-19.
Oh, really?
which was nowhere near as easy as I was expecting. But it basically ended up just looking like a tan Fire Valkyrie with this misshapen head. I wanted to make it as the Fire Valkyrie, and I definitely wanted to do the Milane Valkyrie. But the big problem with them, and this was also, well, this is a problem with all of the Bandai Macross 7 kits, is that they came with these horrible foil stickers instead of decals.
Yeah.
And so the stickers looked awful, so I didn't want to use them, but my painting skill wasn't good enough to, like, paint the little goobaba, for example, on Mulane's wing, even though it was printed in the plastic. But it was just kind of like, looking at it, I was like, this is going to take, either I use these horrible stickers and it looks terrible, or I try to paint it and it looks terrible.
Yeah.
I can't see any way that this will come out looking good, so I never actually made any of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have three of the four. I still need the Nightmare, but I have the other three, and VF-11. I think the fighters in them are actually quite good. They're reasonable for the price, for, you know, 500-400 yen. I think they're very reasonable. I think for the scale, anything that Amai or Airy did back in the day, I mean, it's just a fun kit for kids or anybody to build and just kind of enjoy it. But the Batroids, especially the VF-11, that one is just, it's just a mess. It's just, and the scaling issues too. I mean, I know you've seen it, Mulane's, somebody scratch built like a proper Batloid version of her, and it's gorgeous, but they used the parts from that kit to build their custom kit, and it was all sized perfect, you know, in certain aspects like the backpack and everything. And so it's kind of funny that, like, the scales issues on the Batroids are just so off. They're just a mess, but, you know, they're fun little kits. And did you ever have a chance to build the other two though?
I had them. I never made them.
I do. I have built the chromed version of the Fire Valkyrie, which is beautiful. You know.
Oh wait, do you mean the transformable
ones? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did the Fire Valkyrie.
Okay.
So these were the 1/100.
Yeah.
Scale.
These were the larger ones.
And that one makes a really nice looking Batroid and a really awful looking fighter.
I agree. I honestly think that's probably one of the best, you know, versions of the Fire Batloid, that version.
Look, yeah.
I keep it in fire mode, but I keep that one in a Batroid mode because it just looks really nice.
And the toy was the opposite. I mean, the toy made a pretty okay looking fighter and a really awful Batroid.
They need to move those two guys into the same department. But that was, you know, one of the a little side thing is that, you know, for Bandai to get to use those molds during the 15th anniversary of Macross, they reissued I think 5 or 6 kits into chrome. They chromed them, and they're really nice. They're really fun. I've built a couple of them for Collection DX, and, you know, they're colored white and stuff. But I did, when I went to Macross Con like 2010 or 11, somebody had the chrome version of the Kai, and the Fire Valkyrie, and it was amazing that I had to buy the kit like the next day, and you know, I found it and bought it and I built it, and I want to review it for Collection GX. I just need to take the pictures for it, but I think it's a wonderful kit. It's a bit of a parts former. There's a couple right. parts you need to switch around on it, but
I don't mind that for a model kit.
No, really. I don't either. It's nice if it does, but it's not mandatory, right. you know. So.
Well, we're actually going to cut it a little bit short. We got up to Macross 7. We got up to the 90s, and we're going to do the 2000s models as part two later. So for Macross Speaker Podcast, this is Richard.
And this is Leonardo from Collection GX.
Okay, folding out.